Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
They were not just a good story over the weekend, they were the story of the weekend as Oregon State wins the Pac-12 tournament, gets the automatic berth. They head to Indianapolis. We're here with Wayne Tinkle, Oregon State men's basketball coach. You're already in Indianapolis, is that right?
Yeah. We left first thing Sunday morning out of Vegas.
What was that plane trip like? You guys had to be probably still doing some celebrating. Difficult to get some rest, or were you guys exhausted by the time you get on that plane?
No, we were pretty tired. I know the guys were, and it was kind of a weird deal. We were way spaced out. They wouldn't allow any food or drink on the plane. The bubble basically started when we got onto that thing. So it's been an interesting 24 hours, that's for sure.
Let's go back because, you know, we talked to you amid maybe a nice stretch where you guys were playing some good defense. You felt like things had turned. You know, a lot of us were surprised by what we saw in the last week or two. But were you surprised by it, or is this just kind of everything happening as you saw it unfolding?
Well, you know, we felt we had the makings. You know, we had gone through some rough patches. We knew what our potential was, but we were realistic. We knew it was going to take some time with the amount of new guys and the youth that we had. And some of the immaturity that we had to iron out. And, you know, we had some big wins in February. The three in a row on the road kind of said, okay, told us we might have something brewing here. You know, obviously a tough loss against Oregon at home, but that was kind of the last little shot to the face. Like, guys, let's remember what brought success and got us more focused. And then once we got that UCLA game, when we didn't get off to a great start and then, you know, some calls weren't going our way and we found a way to win that, we felt like, man, guys, this might be our time. Much like a year ago when we pulled that game out against Utah, you see the feeling come across the guys like this is meant to be. And that's what happened after the UCLA game. We were so confident heading into the Oregon game and then obviously again into the Colorado game.
Prior to the Oregon game, you gave you guys some rest. You didn't do the shoot around, but you did the opposite prior to the championship game. Why? Is that just a feel, or is there science, or is it more sort of just feeling out your team and knowing when they need to rest?
Yeah, I think that's it. It was more a feel. You know, we had just played Oregon. We had a tough overtime game against UCLA with a quick turnaround. And you know, we had plenty of time in the gym, so it wasn't like the half hour that we got was going to really be beneficial. So we chose watch film, walk through some things in the ballroom, and then let's go tip it up. And the guys fed off of that. And then looking to Saturday, shoot, the game was at 7:30 at night, and we had to get up for COVID testing at 7 in the morning. So we made the decision it'd be better to get back on the court, do some stretching, do some shooting. We hadn't played Colorado in a few weeks, walk through their stuff. And then, you know, the best thing was just getting our legs going a little bit and getting them out of their rooms. And obviously we feel like that worked for us.
This year has been so much about resilience, and we've talked a lot about it on this show. Families and are going through it. People are going through it. I just thought you guys were such a great example of that this season, and that, you know, you didn't play well early and you looked disjointed and distracted like a lot of teams did early, but you kept fighting and you kept grinding. What's at the heart of that?
Well, I think I'm blessed with you know, great staff, great people around us. You know, we knew there was all sorts of negativity in our society, certainly with the COVID situation. You know, people questioning us and all that. We didn't listen to the nonsense, and we really helped each other through the legitimate concerns. I mean, we still deep into the season had guys, you know, talking about some of the social justice issues. And, you know, we had some great conversations through it all. I mean, our guys opened up. They saw us, I think, as, you know, and we do a good job of this normally, but they really saw us reach out more as mentors, and they saw the human side. And I think that whole process built a level of trust, and it took some time, that's hard really to replicate year after year. And, you know, we had some guys got their daubers down when we weren't winning games. Heck, we had a guy, you know, leave the team after a handful of games. And, you know, through all of it, we built a bond. And again, I use the word trust, that normally you don't quite get to that level unless you're a really mature team. And then we really simplified things, John. When we got our butts beat by Arizona, we had, it was essentially a 7-hour straight staff meeting before practice, and we moved practice back because of the late game the night before, and we asked each other some tough questions and about how we move forward and where we thought the framework, the mind frame of our team was. And then when our team came in, we had a concise, dialed in plan of the words we were going to use, the plan we were going to put in place moving forward. And yet it wasn't rehearsed. It was all stuff from the heart, and our guys fed off of it. And we simplified. We said, listen, right now you guys aren't sure what success is, but you're putting all of these unrealistic expectations on yourselves really early in the season. Let's focus on this: execution, playing harder than our opponent, and enjoying each other out there, because those are the three key things we are missing that cost us some of those early losses. And so we said, listen, this stuff will lead to success. We don't know if it'll be Saturday against Arizona State or next Tuesday against USC, but eventually it will. And something with that just struck through to our guys, and we went on that little roll, and then we just kept mentioning those things. And Saturday night before the Colorado game, those were the three things I wrote on the board. I said, yeah, it's the championship game. It's Saturday night, but we've asked you not to change how you've played. Why would we change how we prepare you? We're writing the same stuff on the board we've been doing for the last 2 months. You know, let's go follow the plan. And I really am proud of the guys for buying into it. And here was the concern, John. Guys bought in to get us to the championship game. You know, the guys that weren't playing big minutes were still waving the towels. You know, and our concern was, now that we're on ESPN, it's championship Saturday, are we going to revert a little bit? And to their credit, man, they were awesome. They stayed into it. The guys that didn't play, their energy was unbelievable. And every dead ball and every timeout, multiple guys, we're not losing it. This is our night. This is our night. We're bringing it home. And even though they made a nice little late run, and we found a way to pull it out, our guys were not ever going to doubt that we were winning that championship.
Go back to December. You know, I had a with your athletic director Scott Barnes on the show, and we talked about the start, and it was a slow start, and you'd lost to University of Portland, and I asked him about his expectations, and he said, you know, he was disappointed with the start. He felt like you were disappointed with the start. He was looking for growth. That, you know, that negativity was out there, but also I think you were probably disappointed with how you guys got out of the gates. How much did you think about at that point, or could you afford to think about, hey, if nothing changes and this goes sideways, this isn't good? Like, how much can you do that, or do you keep focused on the day that you're in?
Well, certainly you're human, right? And, you know, you don't let your mind go there if it starts to drift, and you snap back. You know, we've been doing it long enough. And again, I credit the people around me, you know, and I mean, my daughters, I don't get into details, but they had to defend me a time or two, you know. And I wouldn't want to be going against them, but we just had to stay focused and steadfast to the plan. That's when you find yourself in a hole, you stop digging, right? And so we just continued to tweak, to motivate, to improve, and you know, I've got a pretty strong faith that I had to lean on as well, and we knew that things were going to be okay, you know. And so I hearken back a little bit to when we lost my first year. We lost the exhibition game, our very first game, to Western Oregon. You remember that?
Yep.
And I walked out of the locker room with Bob DeCarolis, and he said, 46. And I said, no, I think we only lost by 11. And he goes, no, 46 F-bombs. And I said, you counted. I said, well, I said, now you know how far we have to go. And I mentioned the same thing after we lost, you know, to Portland. And I said, well, now we just set the bar. You know, we know how far we have to go from here. And we went to work. And we knew we had what it took to win, but we knew we were a long ways, you know, from getting there. And it wasn't easy. I mean, I joke that at times I've been Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, Oprah, Ellen, you know, you name it. We've had to play that role as a staff. And what was really neat, John, without getting emotional here, I was walking to the press conference after the game with Maurice Kalou and Gianni Hunt. Gianni Hunt is a kid that wears his emotion on his sleeves. At times it gets him and us in trouble, but he's a tremendous kid. And there was a time I had to put my arm around him. He was breaking down in a practice, and walk him out into the hallway and give him some counsel. Maurice Kalou, who started a lot of games early on in this season and then has been really relegated to the bench of late. And Maurice gave me a hug, told me how much he loved me and appreciated how, you know, we've coached him and said, Coach, I'll run through a freaking brick wall for you. And then Gianni Hunt broke down in my arms and said, Coach, thanks for your patience with me. I know I've been hard to deal with at times. And that's what is the most rewarding thing. Forget the championship, you know, the rings, the nets, and all that. When you know that your staff is having that kind of impact on these young men, it's what makes it all worthwhile.
I wrote off the game Saturday that a lesser coach would have folded and a lesser team would have quit, would have thrown in the towel. I just think it's such a powerful message about perseverance and family. And, you know, your family obviously is a basketball family with all the kids. It's what you guys did, you know, and now here you are in the NCAA tournament. You get Tennessee. It's a 5-12 matchup. What do you know about Tennessee?
Well, they're a good team. They've got some young guards that are playing with a lot of confidence. The Vescovi kid is really a good kid. When he's got the ball in his hands, they kind of go as he goes. They've got some physicality and athleticism up front. And they play a style that we're not that unfamiliar with. That I think is a key for us. They play a pressure man. They switch a lot. And it's what we just saw three nights in a row from UCLA, Oregon, and Colorado. So our guys, when we put the plan in place and we explain that you're going to see what you just saw last weekend, I think they're going to be, you know, pretty confident now. They play in a tough league. But you know what? Our league doesn't get the respect it deserves. And so we feel like we're going to be prepared now. They, you know, they do play in a league with the Kentuckys and all that, but we're going to be ready to go. And I told one of my assistants, you know, we've been to this NCAA tournament a handful of times, but this and I want to be careful that this doesn't come out the wrong way.
Right.
This is the most confident that I have felt going into an NCAA tournament game, and I know it's a heck of a challenge. They're a 5 seed, very well coached team, but. The big thing is really that intimidation factor, and then the amount of comfort you have with your roster. And so with the comfort and the health we have with our roster right now, and the confidence, you know, I'm excited to get it underway here.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, the last time you make the tournament, I remember the Pac-12 tournament, you were really sick, you were coaching, you guys got, you know, the win that everybody thought would get you into the tournament. It was a much different feel than playing to the end and winning the conference tournament. That confidence that you get from that, do you feel like when you look around the locker room, you can play with anybody right now? I mean, people are going to look at your record, but I look at your record in the last week, and I'm like, I wouldn't pick against this team.
No, certainly. Yeah, our guys, like, we'll play the whole dang team if we have to and not bat an eye. And, you know, that's the neat thing. You guys they've played, and yes, they've all had different roles, but we're riding such a wave right now that, you know, we feel really good about it. And it's funny, this whole net thing, and Joey Petro, who's my director of basketball ops, he's been with me for 11 years. You know, he said, this year above all, you know, the record before January 1st, you know, should really not even be considered with what everybody went through. And he's like, Coach, if you take our last 6 to 8 weeks, where would our net score be? Mm-hmm. You know, and I said, that's all great, you know, and guys, you know, look at all of that. For me, you know, it's just this wave that we've been riding. And even though that there were some losses during that wave, there's been so much growth and you know, emotionally, mentally, physically, we've really come together. And I tell you, I've been inundated with texts and emails from Beaver Nation talking about that. Number one, how hard our team plays and how tight a unit we are. And if you look back and remember some of my criticisms early on, it was the opposite of that. You know, I was saying that we're still not, we haven't come together yet. We've got a lot of parts that are new and young to this deal. We're not mature yet. And credit to the guys for continuing to listen. Credit to the staff that I'm blessed to have for, you know, the fact that we never gave in. We just kept grinding. We just kept rolling up our sleeves and going to work. And our guys, you know, finally responded, and it's all clicked to put us in the position we're in now. I don't know what's going to happen. None of us do Friday, but by saying that we're confident and that we're not going to be intimidated, you know, who knows? That ball goes up in the air in that situation. Anything can happen. But I'm excited for the group that we have and confident that, you know, if nothing else, we're not going to be intimidated, and we're going to go out there and swing away and see what happens.
Coach, I appreciate you making time for us. I just think it's such a good story. And I'm hearing not just from Beaver fans, but from Duck fans and Husky fans who are saying, you know what, that was really inspiring to watch. I can't imagine what it was like to be part of it, because it looked like a movie. It was like the end of Hoosiers, you know. And you're wandering around the court and you're hugging guys. You could just tell how much you love your kids.
It's a special group, and it's a special program, and we really feel good about the path that we've taken to get here, John. You know how we do things. We don't cut corners. We make it more about the non-basketball stuff than the basketball stuff. People are seeing that. You know, the emails we're getting from recruits and from parents now, this is so rewarding. You know, and I don't know if I shared this, and I don't know if we've got another minute or not, Before we went into that tournament, before the Oregon game, the last thing we said before we left the locker room was how proud Beaver Nation was of the group. And I said, guys, we've got to go out and pay tribute and pay respect to all those at Oregon State that have gone before us, players, coaches, administrators, to make the program what it is. There's a proud tradition. And we're getting that spark back. Let's go out there and represent for them. And our guys really rallied behind it, and it was sincere. I mean, we got a heck of a special place. Our guys know that, appreciate it. And, man, they sure are representing for us all now.
Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll talk to you down the way. Good luck to you this weekend and into next week. And hopefully we'll be having the same conversation next week, Coach. I appreciate you.
Yeah, always good to be with you, man. All the best. Thanks.
All right. Coach Wayne Tinkle.
Go Beavs.
There he is in Indianapolis. Such a good story about resilience, family, team, coming together amid trying circumstances. I mean, it's like a fable, and we're watching it unfold before us. Oregon State again.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Baltimore.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.